Our scripture reading today is Psalm 40, and you may find it in the Pew Bible on page 878. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Bless the reading of his word.
So a man asked the Lord, how long 1,000 years was in the Lord's sight? And the Lord said to the man, 1,000 years to me is like a minute to you. And the man asked, what about $1,000,000? How do you see that, Lord? And the Lord replied, $1,000,000 to me is like a penny to you. The man paused and then asked, Lord, can I have a penny? And God said, in a minute. The Lord promises good things to us, but the hard part is that sometimes we have to wait quite a while to receive those good things. Psalm 40 starts out in waiting. King David, the author of this psalm, says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, as I looked into the language behind the English translation, I really don't think that this is really what David is communicating, because the Hebrew behind I waited patiently, there's no patience mentioned in the Hebrew. It's just I waited and I waited. It's like someone might say about a preacher who preaches too long. You know, the pastor went on and on and on and on. It doesn't really, none of you would say that, I'm sure, but it doesn't really communicate patience. And I don't think that somebody saying I waited and waited for God is necessarily communicating patience. I think David was having a patience problem here, and he's saying I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. That's what I think is in the mind of David. And some of the translations actually have that there, but our NIV doesn't here. Now, I think we can understand David in this because we often have waiting issues. We don't like to wait, so we can connect with David in this experience. We complain mostly when we have to wait. We complain about traffic when it comes to a standstill. We complain about waiting in doctor's offices, in grocery checkout lines. We complain about slow service in restaurants. And we complain when we have to wait upon God. But as they say, good things come to those who wait. And that's certainly the case as we wait upon God. And David's testimony in the first part of Psalm 40 bears this out. Evidently, David is going through a deeply distressing time. He describes it as a slimy pit of mud and mire. Mire being kind of swampland, you know, a bog. So David is caught in the mud in the swamp and he can't get out. Some scholars, some commentators say that they think David was talking about a case of being very sick, deathly ill actually, and very close to dying, because the idea of a pit often in the scriptures communicates death or the land of the dead, like the swampland of death. But we don't know for sure what David was going through here. Whatever it was, David waited upon God for deliverance. And then he waited some more. And the fact that he was waiting upon God shows David's faith, because the waiting upon God, necessarily it's waiting directed toward God. He's not waiting for someone else. He's waiting for God as if to say, and if help is going to come, it's going to come through that door, God's door. So he's looking upon that door. What was the help that eventually came? It was this amazing deliverance, and David testifies to that deliverance in the first couple verses of the psalm here. The deliverance that came, God turned to him, or inclined to him. I love that translation. God inclined to him and heard his cry. Then God lifted David out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And then God set David's feet firmly upon rock. A secure place, a strong place to put his feet, a solid place to live. And then God capped it off with putting a new song in David's mouth, gave him a new song, a new revelation of God's goodness that required some new lyrics and some new music. What more could David have asked for? All of those things come through that door, God's door. Now, these things really stood out to me. It's hard for them not to stand out for you. When you read at the beginning of the psalm, you're like, oh, this is just magnificent. This is so wonderful what God did for David. But then I lingered a little longer on the text and read it through some more. And I started asking, you know, why did David have to wait and wait and wait and wait upon God? Why didn't God come sooner? Why did God wait so long to bring his help and his deliverance? And of course, that connects with questions that we ask. Why, God, if you're able to help me now, and if you're going to help me later, why not just come now? You know, kind of reasoning with God like the man about the penny and give me the $1 million, you know. And so why do we have to wait for God? God, what's taking you so long? Now, those questions led me to think about another good thing that comes from waiting. Another blessing that comes from waiting. And it's not the blessings that come through the door at the end of the waiting. It's the blessing of the waiting itself. It's what happens or what can happen in the process of waiting. And I want to focus on that for the remainder of our time. You see, there's something that can happen when we wait upon God, and indeed does happen when we wait upon God directed towards God. You know, it's one thing to wait upon a waitress or a waiter. It's one thing to wait in line for a grocery checkout clerk. But when we're waiting upon God, there's a blessing that happens in that waiting. Let me put it simply, and then I'll unpack it a little bit. When we wait upon God, we become utterly, utterly dependent upon Him. We get in our minds that there is no one who can help. There is no one who's going to help, who's able to help besides God. And so we throw ourselves down at God's feet. And in this posture, we develop a closer relationship with Him. We become, in that posture, more deeply surrendered to God in a way that wouldn't have happened otherwise. I want to call what happens in us when we wait God's spade work, S-P-A-D-E, spade, the digging tool spade. You hear about, you got to do some spade work, some preparation work before something better can happen. And so God is doing some spade work in us as we wait. God is doing groundwork in preparation for something else. And also, I speak of it as spade work because David actually says in the psalm that God is doing some digging in him. It doesn't come through in our translation here, but let me read verse 6. David says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, But my ears you have pierced. That's in your Pew Bible translation. It says pierced. In the translation that Annabelle read, it says opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Now, David writing about God piercing his ears sounds a little strange to us. What does that have to do with anything? Like, David wants some earrings now in the waiting process? It's not talking about the piercing for earrings. The Hebrew behind piercing is the word dig. The word is dig. It's the same word David would have used if he was writing about describing digging a pit or digging a cistern for water or digging out the earth even for a grave. So what David is saying here is that in his waiting, God is digging in his ears, clearing out the gunk. It's a little vivid, I'm sorry. And the wax, making a clear opening in our ear canal so that David could once again hear God's word clearly. You see, when we come to faith in Christ, we develop ears to hear. Jesus says, let them who have ears to hear, hear. Let them hear. Unstop the ears, we often read in the Old Testament. So when we come to faith in Christ, we develop ears to hear God's will. But we often forget that. And we start to selectively hear. You ever selectively hear people or selectively listen to people? And we do that with God. We coast a bit. In our faith, we coast a bit on autopilot. We forget that we can actually hear the word of God in scripture and in the church, in prayer. We forget that. And we need our ears to be unclogged, unstopped. Why? Because it's only when we can hear that we can obey God. It's only when we become open to God's word that we can become settled into a warm and loving relationship with God. For example, what would happen if you and your spouse stopped listening to one another? What would happen if you stopped listening to one another's concerns, one another's thoughts, one another's hopes and dreams, one another's plans? What if you stopped hearing that? Your relationship, you'd be in a lot of trouble for one, and then your relationship would eventually become cold and distant because your ears are clogged up to your spouse. You're selectively hearing. Well, it's the same with God. And God doesn't want our relationship to be cold and distant in which we just go through the motions, checking things off our list. That's the attitude David's writing about that God doesn't want. He says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Verse 6. And for us, maybe the paraphrase would be, God doesn't need your church attendance. God doesn't need your tithes and offerings. God doesn't need your committee service work. God doesn't need any of that. What God wants mostly is you. God wants you. Not a part of you, all of you. Because he wants a loving relationship in which we do his will not because we have to, not because we're forced to or we're scared of what would happen if we don't. He wants us to delight in doing God's will, to delight in it, to do it because we want to do it. That's love. A spouse will do the will of his or her spouse because they want to please that person, not because they have to. That's God. And in this psalm, we see that God certainly gets to David. He gets to David through his ears. By unclogging David's ears, God gets to his heart. Verse 8, David says, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. God got right into his heart, and that's what he wants to do with you and me. And so this suffering and distress that David has to wait through leads him to open up his life even more to the Lord. And I think that's the greatest blessing to come from the waiting that we read about. David got more of the Lord in his life because he surrendered more of himself to the Lord. The sacrifice David offers out of, it's not burnt offerings. sin sacrifices and such. The sacrifice David offers is himself. And he says it in verse 7. Then I said, David says, here I am. Here I am. Not my sacrifices of, you know, goats or sheep, cattle, grain offerings. No, here I am, Lord. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I'll say a little bit about that. It's written about me in the scroll. That's kind of odd there. That's what God wants to accomplish in us in our waiting. He wants followers of Christ opened. Ears open, hearts open, surrendered to the greatness of our God. That's where he wants us. There's this strange reference. I mentioned it. In verse 7 it says, David says, you know, here I am, I've come. It's written about me in the scroll. And you stop and say, huh? Where is there some book written about David? Is there some, you know, book that's not been found that is a prophetic word about what David will do in being obedient to God here? Well, we can't be for, you know, we can't know for sure what this reference is about, but I tell you what the author of Hebrews interprets this reference to be about. The author of Hebrews interprets it prophetically as a reference to Jesus Christ, who came at just the right time to waiting humanity. Not too soon, not too late, just the right time. Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, the author of Hebrews puts the words we read from David in Psalm 40 onto the lips of Jesus. Here's what it says here, verses 5 to 7, Hebrews 10. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, this is Christ saying, then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus is our model. He is our model of where God wants to get us, where God wants us to be. He wants us totally submitted to himself, ears open, hearts open. Jesus came and said, here I am, God. I'm here to do your will all the way, not part way, all the way I'm going to surrender to your will, Jesus says. And he followed God's will all the way. He went all the way with it to the grave, to the slimy pit of mud and mire, to the swampland of death. And he died for our sin as our sacrifice, as our substitute, so that we wouldn't die from our sin. You can't be more surrendered than where Jesus went. You can't be more surrendered to a body laying lifeless on a slab in a tomb. That's where Jesus went in surrendering himself to God's will. He emptied himself completely, and then he waited. And he waited. And then he waited for 3 long days in the tomb. And then the Lord turned and inclined himself to Jesus, his son. And he worked his deliverance once again in a fresh way. God lifted him up out of the grave, and in that deliverance, God put a new song in Jesus' mouth. A fresh song. A song of resurrection, a song of salvation for all people. I love how Hebrews 2:12, a lot of us are reading this verse a lot. Hebrews 2:12 says how Jesus sings that song with us, that song of resurrection and deliverance with us. In Hebrews, we read that Jesus says of his Father in heaven, he says, I will declare your name, he's saying to the Father, to my brothers and sisters. In the presence of the congregation, Jesus says, I will sing your praises, O God. Jesus' new song has become our song. He sings it with us, First Presbyterian Church. He sings it with the global church. He sings it with the church of all times and places. And we can sing this song of deliverance at all times. We can sing like David when the deliverance comes. We sing that song of praise. And we can sing it when we wait and wait and wait. We can sing that song. Next time you're waiting, waiting rooms are a great place to get things done. You go to the doctor's office. I was sitting in the doctor's office this week and I had to wait a long time, and I checked my email on my smartphone, you know. Some of you like to knit or crochet while you're waiting. Some of you like to catch up on some phone calls. Waiting is a great place to get some things done. Next time you're waiting upon God to rescue you, to get you out of some situation, think of the work God wants to do in you while you wait. How God is trying to get your attention. He wants to open, to bore out your ears so that you can hear His word. He wants your ears open, heart open. He wants you surrendered. And waiting is the perfect time for that to happen. Amen.